Second Peter. We're looking at chapter 1, starting with the third verse. If you have your Bible, turn with me there. And it says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort and add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these quantities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do not do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we just thank you, Lord, that, Lord, you are over all. We thank you, Father, that you give us that which we need, your word. May we just go into it now and give us the understanding that we need to have so that we can better know you and follow you, and Lord, that we might do what you have directed us to do and thereby serve you more. Father, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I come and preach your word today, that I would speak out of your power and out of your wisdom, out of your truth, and not that of myself or any man. Lord, we ask that your word would be what is lifted up and glorified here, your truth revealed for all. And Father, we ask that you, more than anything else, would meet with us and encourage us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, godly addition. Okay, those of you, we're getting ready to go back to school. We're going to learn about the basics, the three R's. One of them is arithmetic, right? I never quite, reading, writing, and arithmetic is one of the three R's, but, it's arithmetic with an A, but whatever. The teachers all cringe when they say those three R's, but we do have godly addition here, is how I've titled this, and because a major part of what God is doing here, what through Peter and telling us to do, is there's some things that he's going to give us and wants to add to our lives. First, he tells us that God gives us everything needed for life and godliness. Okay? This comes through our knowledge and relationship with him. It's our knowledge of God. That, as we saw last week, it's that relationship by knowing. I know you by being in relationship with you. That's why I get that positive knowledge. Knowing you. Well, as we know him, he does some things for us. He gives us a couple of precious promises. Very precious promises. He tells us that we will participate in the divine. Participate in the divine. What does he mean by that? Think about it. What is the promise that we read about in Ephesians? The Holy Spirit is that seal, that promise. The Holy Spirit is the promise. In the Gospel of John, we're told that the promises that He's going to send the counselor. Jesus is going to send the counselor. Give us the counselor. This promise that God is going to be with us forever. This is the promise. This precious promise. One of them. It makes many promises, but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, is what allows us to participate in the divine. Because God, in the person of the Holy Spirit, comes and lives within each and every one who claims Jesus as Lord and Savior. We're sealed with that Holy Spirit. He's with us. He's the counselor. That allows us to have that relationship and to grow with each other. You know, this precious promise to participate in the divine. Also that we'll escape the corruption. Corruption of the world. Anybody here have any doubts that the world is corrupted? I mean, look at the news. For that matter, just look at a few kids playing. You know, we see time and again when people try to talk about the innocence and the and how children, you know, they don't know a lot of things, but they do know greediness and mine. You know, we don't have to teach them that. Children reach out and grasp whatever they can get and try to pull it to themselves. This is my finger that you have in your on the end of your hand, and I'm going to hold it now. And they pull it. We that's part of us from the very get-go. Look at a couple of small children playing outside, and sooner or later, one's going to be taking something from another. We have to teach them to share. The world is corrupted, and it's the evil desires within us. That is the corrupting factor. Part of the one of the corrupting factors. Those evil desires within us. And God is telling us that He's going to give us what we need to overcome these things. To escape the corruption of the world and our own evil desires. My evil desires will corrupt me if I don't deal with it. How do we deal with it? Well, He tells us how. He tells us here, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Next slide. And, oh, shoot, that's... The top of the slide got cut off there on you guys. Okay. Very top says, possess these in increasing measure. And what is it that we're supposed to possess? Well, we start off with faith. God gives us faith, right? We have that faith, and then we're supposed to add goodness and knowledge. Then self-control and perseverance and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. Oh, back one slide. I'm sorry. That's why we don't have it. There we go. That's the one slide I wanted. We want to possess these in increasing measure. Each one of these is getting more. Now next slide. And then we see the total Christian. Each one of these gets in more, but it's the total package that really counts. What Jesus is telling, what Peter is writing to us here, is that we need to add each one of these in increasing measure to give us this total. Total Christian. Now, that's 36. I just start off with just a base number. I said 1, and the next one is 2, because we're going in increasing measure. The next one's 3, and so forth, because that's the order they put in. We're supposed to take one of these and add to them. That's a total of 36. Okay, 36 measures of what? I don't know. I'm just being very arbitrary here. It doesn't say that they're equal parts, just increase. They're supposed to be increasing each one, at least a little bit. But I'm just trying to give you a visual here of what it is. And while we're supposed to have each one of these, and each one is just a little bit, they add to the whole of who we are. And this whole of who we are in our Christian walk and allows us to have that which we need to overcome the evil desires within us and the brokenness of the world, the corruption of the world. So what are these things? Next, we have faith. Faith is a gift from God. It's a complete trust in Christ and His work as the basis of one's relationship with God. Now, what I've done here is I've actually gone through and I've defined each one of these words that we have in here. I looked in biblical dictionaries, theological dictionaries, and I made a kind of a refined down the definition of each one of these so that we can define the terms, define our words. Because words mean something. But in our society, we often start using words in ways that they don't mean, to give them a new meaning. But I want to make sure this is the meaning that we're attributing to these words. Okay? Faith. Faith is a gift from God. It's our complete trust in Christ and His work on the basis of one's relationship with God. That's what Christian faith is. We're not talking about faith somebody has in Buddha or in themselves. We're talking here this faith that is a complete trust in Christ and His work as the basis of our relationship with God, of one's relationship with God. And we have goodness. Goodness is that moral excellence that's in accord with God's nature. So, our moral excellence, our morals are in accord with God's nature. That's our level, how we measure the goodness here. Knowledge, that which is recognized and understood. Okay? How can I recognize you and understand you? Well, one of the best ways to do so is to be in relationship. I can recognize and understand something by spending time with it and getting to know it. I can know it by getting to know it. Boy, can't use the same word to define the word. We need to spend, it's in that relationship that understanding occurs, that we get to the point of recognizing the particulars of what makes, what's important to someone. Okay, that's how we understand people, is in relationship. You can understand a mathematical equation by studying it, but to understand a person, the best way to study is and get to know it is relationship. Okay. Then we have self-control. Self-control. That's mastered personal desires and passions. Are you the master of your personal desires, or do your desires drive you? Self-control is mastering those desires, those passions that we have. Perseverance, enduring, maintaining faith. So that goes through the trials of life. So it doesn't go away because there's been trials. It actually endures. That's perseverance. Then we have godliness. Godliness. That's the likeness to God in moral and spiritual character. We see that's kind of similar to goodness in kind of an interesting way. One speaks of moral excellence in accord with God's nature, but here godliness is a likeness to God in our moral and spiritual character. Then we have brotherly kindness. In the Greek, that's actually the word Philadelphia. I know many of you are familiar with that. That's why I brought it up. We have a city in the nation, in our nation, in Pennsylvania, what's called Philadelphia. What do we call? What's their city of brotherly love? Brotherly love, brotherly kindness, this is what Philadelphia means. But it literally means brotherly friendship, that is, treating others as if they are your own family. Okay? Philadelphia, your family. We're family. Then we have another word for love, The last one is love itself, which agape is the root word. Agapone is here. But it's love that is a decision. Do anybody have a guess what selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person? They're both being concerned. We see the last two items that we're supposed to be adding to our lives are both different variations on love. And that these are the things that we're supposed to be adding in greatest measure. Kind of blew me away. I wasn't expecting this when I was studying it. And one of the wonderful things of studying God's Word to preach is that it teaches me long before it ever gets to you. And there's a lot of stuff I learned that I don't have opportunity necessarily to pass on. But this was really speaking to me and showing me in a way that I didn't anticipate at all the importance of our love one for another. Family love, your family. Brotherly kindness, brotherly love. Love outright, where it's selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another. Being unselfish. As I was talking about, as little children, babies, we start off being selfish. We have to learn to be unselfish. And this is what we are to add. This is the instructions that we are to do. We are to add these things, each one in increasing measure, to our faith. We add goodness. To our goodness, we add knowledge. To our knowledge, we add self-control. To our perseverance, we add To our perseverance, we add godliness. To our godliness, we add brotherly kindness. To our brotherly kindness, we add love. Each one in an increasing measure. This is godly addition. This is what we are supposed to be seeking to add to our lives. What am I supposed to have that I don't have? This is the list. Go out and get these things. Add them to who you are. They make up the totality of that. And these will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of God. This is what's going to keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of God. Now, at first, doesn't that seem... How can our knowledge, being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge? See, if we're in relationship with God, then we know what it is that God wants. But we can be in closer relationship, be more effective in that now, and unproductive, as we know that He wants others to know and love Him too, and wants to know us more, if we add these things. And we see that it's not just knowledge we're supposed to have, goodness. I mean, knowledge is only the second thing that we add. And we don't need as much of that as we need of godliness or brotherly kindness or of love. It's more important, if we're going on that increasing thing, that I'm having more love for one another than we are. Hold on, aren't we told that love will cover over a multitude of sins? Yeah. If my knowledge isn't as perfect, but my love is there, that's going to be of greater benefit. If I'm full of knowledge, but I don't have the love, I'm going to be lacking more. Now, it doesn't mean that I shouldn't have the knowledge. I'm supposed to add each one of these. I'm not supposed to skip any of them. Neither are you. These are what we need. And these will keep us. If we have these things, if this is what we bring, we seek after and we collect them, this will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of God. See, following this, it says, if we don't know this, but if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. Okay, it's, if we don't have these things, it's like we can't see all the blessing that God has for us and all that he has already done for us. But if we do these things, this is how we make your call and election sure. By adding these things to your faith. See, if you do this, God's word here says that you will not fall and that you will be welcomed into the eternal kingdom of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know where you are on the eternal security question. It's one that's open for debate. But this is certainly a passage that leads us to question the fact that if I need to make it sure, and that there's even any question that I would be welcomed, that there's a possibility that I could, through some means, no longer have my salvation. That I could lose somehow that calling and election. I'm not going to get into that whole thing right now, but let's get into this part right here, which says, make sure. Make it sure. What do you do to make our calling and election sure? To my faith, I need to add goodness. To my goodness, I need to add knowledge. To my knowledge, I need to add self-control. To my self-control, I need to add perseverance. To my perseverance, I need to add godliness. To my godliness, I need to add brotherly kindness. To my brotherly kindness, I need to add love. This is what I need to do. This needs to be what we do. And if we do this, this is how we can be sure that nothing in this world and nothing of ourselves can separate us from the love of God. Can make us so that we will not be welcomed. If we do these things, we'll be more effective for God. He tells us that this will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. So if it's going to keep us from being ineffective and unproductive, it is going to make us effective and productive in our knowledge of God. And we will be welcomed into the eternal kingdom. We will not fall short of the finish line. Many people have that fear. There's no need to have the fear. It tells us here right now, all that needs to be done is to add these things in increasing measure from what we already have. Well, how much is more? Not a whole lot more. You know, is one penny more than a dollar? Is a dollar one penny more than a dollar? Yes. A dollar and a nickel more than a dollar? Yes. If I just add a little bit more. I don't necessarily need to add $10 to the $1 to have more. I just need to add a little bit. Add each one in increasing measure. And add them to our faith. Seek after each one of these blessings, these attributes that Peter lists here. And add them to your character, and God will bless you and welcome you into the eternal kingdom as Lord and Savior. Now, I'm speaking here from a position that he's already speaking to the saints. You've already known Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What we're saying here is this brings us closer to God this side of heaven. And allows us to come before our Father in heaven and lay crowns before the throne. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you. This morning we give you praise, Lord. We thank you that you indeed are our glorious God. That you knew us before we were created in our mother's womb. And you knew each of the trials and tribulations and things that we would go through and things that we would need. And you said, I will give you everything you need. So Lord, might we turn to you to seek after these gifts that we need. But you have promised. And Lord, as we seek for these things that you have told us to seek after, of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, Lord, might we not seek them in the world? Might we not seek them in ourselves? But might we seek them from the one who gives us all that we need, which is you. Lord, might we go to you, our provider, and ask for these things and receive them with your blessing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.